Je vous présente Anna Sort qui nous vient tout droit de l'Université de Barcelone. Et charge à elle donc d'animer toute seule, puisqu'au départ on lui avait demandé de faire ce keynote en partenariat, en tandem avec Teresa Colombi de la Société Ludotique, dont quelques membres ont tout à l'heure planché, Loïc qui est là-haut. Donc Anna et Teresa, mais donc Anna toute seule, va travailler, a travaillé et donc va nous mener cet exposé donc sur le jeu sérieux pour les professionnels de santé avec ce titre, donc le défi comme moteur d'apprentissage. Le défi, le challenge. Voilà. Donc le challenge pour nous, ça a été de lancer Ségamed l'année dernière. Le challenge a été par la suite de continuer cette année d'avoir une deuxième édition de Ségamed. Pour l'instant, ça se passe plutôt pas mal et on est ravis que vous soyez là. Donc on va voir comment, quand on dérive le challenge au cœur de la problématique de cette conférence, c'est-à-dire le Serious Game en santé, comment est-ce que cela peut s'illustrer. Donc voilà, je cède le micro à Anna.
Merci. Je suis là avec, on a préparé sa présentation avec Teresa, mais elle n'est pas là. I will present this in English because I feel more or less with the English words, okay? So what I did, because Teresa's not here, but she's part of this presentation, I made us a chibi. And then I'm the one, obviously, on the right side, and Teresa is on the left side. So when you see in a presentation Teresa's little thing, that means that's actually Teresa's slides. So I'll try to do my best on her behalf, but, you know, it's not my slides, so she would do a much better job than I would. So it starts with Teresa, as you can see. And she wanted you to explain the difference between serious games and gamification. There's a lot of words, so I'm just going to sort of go through it. We'll probably upload somewhere or presentation. So with the slides that have lots of words, don't worry about reading everything. I'll just go through them, and then you can probably go and look at what you're interested in later on. So the serious games are a new frontier for training and education. It uses video game technologies, and basically what it aims to achieve is a pedagogical path through fun and pleasure. Here is a little bit of a diagram of what a serious game is, so you have an idea of where it would fall into these categories. And then what is not a serious game? If you go onto Google right now and you check games, educational games, or just games in general, you'll get a lot of hits that are just quizzes games. And obviously, those are not serious games. There are others like training platforms and demonstrations and other e-learning stuff that's not a serious game. So what is gamification, which is the other part that we'll be talking about today? It's using specific mechanisms into an existing product to make it interesting, fun, and addictive. This is what Teresa decided to have as a definition of gamification, but there are many, many definitions of gamification, so feel free to choose your favorite one, the one that explains more what you want to do with that product. And here is a bit of numbers about gamification. So we know what it is now. Let's see what's happening with it. So basically, it says that innovation industries will have 50% of them will be gamified by 2015, whether it's the products or themselves, protocols, whatever. And then that by 2016, 31% of the social media stuff will be around gamification. And this is the expectations peak. As you can see, gamification is right now at the top of the expectations peak. That means it probably will be sort of the trend on the next, and it will take about 5 to 10 years to die. So we'll see gamification quite a lot in the next coming years. So this is another good question that I found that Teresa was really sharp to put it here. It's like, is gamification really new? No, it's not really new. It's just the word that it's new. Gamification has been going on since I was a child, because I used to go to buy a certain brand of a certain croissant that they would give you a sticker. And then you got that sticker and put it in a collection of stickers that they would give you. So that was early gamification. Also, the points on the gasoline stations or the employee of the month from McDonald's, those are early concepts of gamification. And the other good point is, why is gamification successful? Why is everybody talking about it? What it makes it? So it's because humans are prone to play. And also, we're seeing more and more that gaming is not only happening in the computers or in the consoles, at home, portable ones. It also starting to happen in applications, mobile phones, and so on. And it changed radically who plays games. Through social gaming, as known as also casual games, the age moved from 23 to 35, 37 is the average right now of the player. And 60% of the social gamers are female. So if you ask a company that makes Facebook games right now, they'll tell you that their target is a 35-plus woman. So that's quite interesting how it changed. And other thing is that gamification is way cheaper than a serious game, basically because a serious game, you have to create a game. And we all know that to create a game, it takes several months and a lot of money. And gamification, the product is already made, so you just have to add those things. And then the uses of serious games and gamification in healthcare, that would be me talking. So these you can ask questions about. So I would like to know how many of you play games. I play games. Okay. So many of you play games. So having games in healthcare is actually not so new. It's been going on for a long time. For example, in 1983, they were using joysticks to have people with brain injuries be motivated to move their arms instead of just, you know, you have to do this exercise or whatever. And in 1987, the Atari console, which I don't know if any of you had it, but it's that thing over there. I didn't have one. I was a VC person. They used it with children that was undergoing chemotherapy. And as you know, nausea is one of the, you know, things that you can get while you're getting chemotherapy. So what they did was they played on the Atari, and by that, by distraction, they were trying to ameliorate this nauseous feeling and stuff. In 2006, Need for Speed, which is another very famous game, was used to encourage adolescents with spina bifida to actually do exercise. And 2009, the Nintendo console was used for kids that were going to undergo surgery to try to have them less stressed before the surgery. So besides having the parent, having the Nintendo was also a very good calming. And so I've talked about the video games that were used in healthcare. Now I'm going to talk a little bit about the video games that are made for healthcare. So this is a Super Nintendo game. It's called Packing Marlon, and there are two elephants that have diabetes. And they go onto a diabetes camp, and turns out the rats took all the good foods and medicines and stuff. So they have to go and get the rats, get the good stuff. So that's their adventure. And they have to balance their glucose levels through it. And that's like a major production, because it's Nintendo. And now I want to show you three examples of serious games. What I try to do with this is like put them sort of in three different places. So on the left you have Remission. What is it? Yeah, right left. You have Remission, which is a game that you act as you were the chemotherapy in the body of a child, and you need to help her. And so what it does, it sort of explains to the user how chemotherapy works in your body. Why do you feel nauseous? Why do you lose hair and stuff? In a way that you don't realize that you're learning that experience. So this would be to like teach and educate and whatnot. Then you would have the stress and pain part, which would be the one that I chose was Snow World. Snow World is a 3D world where it was made for people who has burn injuries. As you know, burn injuries, they are very, very painful. And usually, if they are very long, they take a lot of time to do the cure for the nurses. And it's just so painful for the patient. So what they did was create this world in where the patient goes into a 3D world where everything is snow, everything is ice. And it seems to calm a lot the pain feeling. And there's Hammer and Planks, which is the game that was awarded last Evirtuos. And I chose that one to show the rehabilitation side. This game you play through a Kinect, or you can play it through the Wii platform thing. And it helps learn about balance. But that's a rehabilitation series game. And now I'm going to show you gamification examples of mobile health. I've been looking a lot into mobile health technologies and gamification, and although it works very well in theory, there are not many good gamified mobile applications. So I'll show you the ones that I found. There are a couple more, but I chose those ones. So the first on the left is QuitNow. QuitNow helps the smoker quit smoking by gamifying quitting smoking. There's achievements, there's challenges, there's a sort of a help place where other users update their stuff. So from the smoking perspective, I think it can work very well with gamification, and they do an attempt. The mid one is My Sugar. My Sugar is really interesting because although if you go to the mobile store right now and you look for diabetes, you'll find there are tons of applications about diabetes. Well, this one is the first one that I see that it's well gamified. So I would like you to take a look at it if you're interested in gamification examples. And then on the far right, that application is actually the one that got me to run. It's called Zombies Run. And what it does, it tells you a story about this town. And basically, you put your headset on, and you set to run, and then the story starts. And it's really nice because it keeps you running because you want to see what happens to the town and to the story and to the zombies. So that's quite interesting. And now it's Teresa's part again. Cognitive psychology, how motivational mechanisms work. This is about engagement and motivation, what makes us click on those two senses. Well, we have why are we prone to play? There are several. So discover, create, and explore would be one. Challenge, compete, achieve, and win would be another one. Exchange, collaborate, cooperate, and have a social link. Be part of something important with a community. That would be another one. And most of us are prone to a couple of these ones, not just one. You might have one that you're more prone to, but you also enjoy the other ones. And the final aim of gamification is through fun and pleasure, deliver a message, change an opinion, or change a behavior. And then she wanted to also talk about what's not very honest gamification. She wanted to explain you about this, for example, this app from Weight Watchers, which was gamified. But it turns out that after a while, you notice that you cannot win unless you buy their products. Because to slim and stuff, you need to buy the products in the game to win. So that's not very honest. That's persuasion slash evilness. And this part is really interesting, but I'm going to sort of jump through it. Because what we did with Teresa is she gave you the mechanisms, as in, these are the mechanisms that you can use to discover and create, to explore, to da-da-da. And what I did was using the three gamification applications that you saw before, I divided them onto those. So the first mechanism is the need to discover and create. You can take a picture of it. I'm not going to go through it, but it's because I'll explain you later with a case so you know what I'm talking about. And the need of competition and achievement, which is leaderboard badges and so on. And then there's the need to wave a social link. Which is like a reward for cooperation and information sharing and so on. So what I did was I took Teresa's explanation of the mechanisms and I said, hey, let's talk about these applications that I chose. What do they do? So basically what Teresa calls discovery, I call it the journey. And the journey in this application in particular, it has clear goals, which is one of the mechanisms that you need. It has a clear progression path. It actually has milestone feedback. Feedback is extremely important. But this one, the way they chose to have the feedback was through milestones. For example, you can now smell, you have now regained your senses on the tongue, your body now doesn't need the nicotine anymore, and so on. And on the personalization side, which is another very important mechanism in gamification, is that you actually can add how many cigarettes per day you smoke. How could we improve this app in this aspect? Well, imagine that you could personalize your own difficulties. Imagine that your difficulty for quitting smoking is when you wake up, that cigarette in the morning is like you have to have it. So imagine that you could link the app to your alarm clock. So it gives you like a challenge or a power up in the morning when you wake up. So you are aware of not wanting to have that cigarette. And the check-ins can be tricky because you don't want a person uninstalling your app because you made too many check-ins. Competition and achievement, it's an app that's designed so you compete with yourself and you gain achievements by getting over yourself with this addiction. And it could be interesting to see a cooperation approach in this in these applications where you link to your partner. Usually there's this special person or this someone that can help you overcome an addiction. And then the social link and multiplayer, well, it's just a help page that you can go to, that you can read other suggestions from other players. And you can share your achievements. That's pretty much as far as it goes to the social link. But allowing partner and family reminders, you know, that I can send you little messages and stuff when you have a crisis and you hit a red button, you know, you have, I don't know, your daughter telling, you know, daddy, you can do it and stuff like that. And that's another very important, interesting thing that I would like to point out. There, you could make an app so it uses a positive habit to replace an old one, a bad old one. So these type of applications could do this. Then it's My Sugar. This is the application for the diabetics. The goal is actually to tame the monster. The monster is the one that's going ha 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 over there in green. So that's the monster. And what you have to do with this app is by the end of the day, tame the monster through having good readings of diabetes. So there's a clear progression path and there's feedback. If you introduce a bad reading, for example, if your reading is very low, the monster will go crazy and will go like, go eat something. So it gets upset and stuff. So that's funny. And personalization, there are many apps for diabetics that need a ton of information. This one doesn't require as much information to start. So that's good. And most of it is already set up for you. You just need to sort of change it a little bit. And works with your data, so obviously it's personalized. And there is something very interesting that it has, which is the decision-making search. So you can search for an item that you've been introducing. Let's say that you've been having, you know, you want to check how you do when you drink beer. So you can put the beer on the search, and then it will give you all the readings that you had every day you got that item. So that's quite interesting as well. And we could obviously improve it the same as before, adding the difficulties or making them available to you, as in, I don't know, I have a really hard time with brownies. I need to eat brownies all the time. So obviously I have a problem with the brownie. So if I put an icon that's on a brownie and then I can track the brownie intake, that will make it easier for me to know how it's affecting my diabetes. Competition and achievements. There's achievements in the game. The good thing is that there are not many achievements in the game. This is the whole thing, like four achievements. One is the one I chose, and the last one, it's monster bullying, this one. But if you start, you only get one that it's sort of black. It means that it can only be unlocked by playing some other achievements. So that's kind of nice. And then a multiplayer approach and a customization of the monster could make you more involved into the application. And then the social link, well, the free version doesn't have anything social. I don't know whether the other version does. However, it would be interesting to have a community where you can share and relate to other people that have the same issue that you do. And obviously, they are working on this now. They are working on having the wireless connection and to download it directly on the app so you don't have to insert data twice. Zombies Run. It's pretty cool because it's just like a storyline. This one is to represent the fitness on my chosen gamification apps. And basically, it's really easy because you have a progression, a story, you have quests, and you go one after the other, and that's it. How would we improve engagement? Imagine that this city that you own, because you change it with the resources that you get when you go running, imagine that it would be shared with family members. And then what would this do was not only you make you responsible for other people, but also it would make you want to log into the application even if you didn't do anything that day, because someone else might. And that's something that we need to look. Applications that we use more or less in a current. And I think with this app, it's very interesting to start exploring different ways of cooperation through mobile health, because it opens a type of cooperation that I'm very fond of, which is like creating a city together or creating something together involving different people that you care about. And the possibilities and opportunities of mobile health, very quick. This is devices that we probably all of us have, a smartphone. It usually has a digital camera, an accelerometer, touchscreen, Wi-Fi, GPS, voice recognition. And what's being done now? Okay, so with the camera, what's being done, it's, for example, the heart rate. You put your finger, it's an app where you put your finger in the camera, and then it tells you your heart rate. The other one is the Felix camera. And what it does is through your micro changes on the skin, and it tracks also your breathing rate, so it gives you the breathing rate and your heart rate. So with the GPS, what are we doing? We're tracking fitness mostly, so Nike Plus and Zombie Run are on this side. The accelerator can be, this one is actually not very explored, the accelerometer, and I think it's really interesting. This, for example, is Sleep Cycle. It's an app that tracks your sleep. And it knows when you are on deep sleep and when you're not. So, for example, you tell him, wake me up from 7 to 7:30. And it will wake you up when you're in your light sleep, not when you're in deep sleep. So you wake up happy and stuff. That's useful. And then there are other apps, mobile health apps, that just benefit from the fact that you carry your mobile phone around. So mostly tracking apps. I have here my MyFitnessPal, which is tracking what you eat, calories and stuff, and the mood tracker, which tracks your mood. You just tell him, hey, I'm happy today, or I'm sad, or whatever. So imagine the endless possibilities mobile health has for healthcare. And that's about it. And see you at the masterclass, which Teresa will be there. So she'll be able to talk about all that apart, which is really, really exciting, but yeah, she's not here. So, yeah. Any questions? Yeah, Teresa's avatar is on the left. You didn't recognize her. She looks exactly like that. I promise. If you see her tomorrow, she's exactly like that. Huh? With a big head.
She's wearing glasses.
She does wear glasses. That's true.
Okay, thank you, Hannah. Some questions.
No questions. No, apparently.
All the questions for Tamar.
That morning? Means that I either did a very good job or a very bad job. I'll take the good one.
Actually, it's not exactly a question because I just wanted to have Pier Marco interacting with you, but unfortunately, he had to left for a few minutes. But this morning, during his presentation together with Aurore, what I was missing actually was all the mobile-centered or mobile-related portions of what happens when you have to think about conception, design, gameplay, and so on. Actually, you took that mostly on the reverse side. I mean, and bringing these quantified self questions and issues and so on, all related to mobile health, which is, and you're right, something which is dramatically changing the way also we behave. When yesterday David Darmon, remember, during his presentation, said that now people come to the physician saying, okay, I've been wearing my Fitbit or my Jawbone for 2 weeks, and I know that I've been doing this and this and that, and I've been browsing the internet, and I know that my affection is this and this and that, so you need to give me this kind of medication. So now the game is also to know who's cheating and why and how. But what was to me really interesting in your paper, in your presentation, was this appearance, the moment that you brought in the picture, you brought in the landscape, the mobile. Because to me, today, and Segamet probably is going to see that evolving in the forthcoming years. Serious gaming, of course, is something that is no longer a kind of project or futuristic projection. We all live in this concept of serious gaming, and this is the reason why most of us are here in this amphitheater. But the experience and the relation we are going to have with this attitude of gaming, seriously or not, is, and I think that this is your opinion, what at least what you have been demonstrating, and I mostly agree with you, is going to evolve deeply towards something which is wearable, something which is interacting with our kind of intimacy, which is absolutely not the way that we have now been trained to interact with games, whether with Wiimotes, joysticks or whatever, or keyboards, mouses and so on. When you interact with real life and your body with your telephone, things are dramatically different.
Yeah.
Can you go further on that?
I would like to add something. I am a nurse. I studied nursing school and stuff. So I don't know if you know any nurses, but we're completely obsessed with prevention. We don't like to talk about disease. We're all about prevention. And I think mobile health has actually got very, very good opportunity in the prevention side, because there's lots of people already doing self-tracking and so on, and you see that empowers them on their health to take charge of it. You know, you have data. You can do something about it. So it makes it more visible at some way for the user to be able to do something about it, and it provides tools as well. So I think mobile health is the next step on prevention. It's not about having ads on TV saying 5 fruits a day. It's about having an app helping you manage your life. That's it. Thank you. Oh, question.
Next time I get ill, I will ask for you to be a nurse for me.
A good one.
No, but I have a serious question. The last things you showed, the last three, would you say that they're beginning to blur the boundary between gamification and serious game? That the boundary is now not quite so clear?
Basically, with gamification, what you do is work with a product that already exists So, and the serious game is actually a game itself. Gamification would be what you do with your life and with your data in order to make it fun and motivating to keep you going, for example, in health. Like, for example, in this one, obviously, it's a product, Nike Plus. I would argue that serious games and gamification do merge sometimes, but I think there's always one best choice. Either for something, a best choice is a serious game, and for something, a best choice is a gamification. But they do merge sometimes. Like, for example, you could argue that Zombies Run is sort of a serious game, but it's not, because it only has a storyline, and so it's arguable. It depends on where your standards and definitions are. Yeah, I think so. And as I said before, the definitions for gamification, they vary. So it depends on what you see as your gamification definition, you know, closer to your heart, that you will see whether it merges or not with serious gaming.
Yes. Just yes.
Thank you.
Do you know the application QR code?
No, I don't know it.
Ah, because
I do, of course.
About the prevention of AIDS, and because with the accelerometer, mm-hmm. you have the video about that, because the video on of the QR code.
No.
No, ça serait bien de la montrer.
Ah bah vas-y si tu veux. Hein.
Bah tu as YouTube là.
That's where I was.
I think because it's very, very interesting to have a big example of what is you type QR code.
Okay, you guys can do this at home, not in front of the children, because we don't know what's going to happen.
Because yes, it's a little sex, but it's Sweden. C'est lequel QR code?
It exploded. The adult material made the computer explode, so we won't be able to see it today. Okay. But you can do this at home.
No, because I think it's very interesting. I see on you know, the Game for Health Europe with Horst, you know.
So what does it? Can you explain a little bit what it does in 2 minutes or less? 30 seconds. Go.
It's about prevention of the AIDS, and in Sweden, for the young people, they give a preservative with a QR code, just on the yes, condom with a it's QR condom. The
I was
yes,
like a QR code.
And you put I think it's better to see the movie, but you put your iPhone or your smartphone with the accelerometer on the bed. So they calcule the calcul of the sound and with the during of because you have to stop when at the end, and they compare and they create a big community in but I think in France it's very complicated, but in Sweden
I think we would have lots of people alone going on the bed like this.
Yes maybe. Yes, but on the example,
look,
it's working now. QR condom.
Yeah, but I don't know. Do we have time to see?
No, mais c'est super. Elle est super cette vidéo. Pour finir.
Okay. something very similar is happening with Durex. They're doing a campaign where basically it does that.
Condom.
I can't type in French stuff.
Elle est excellente cette vidéo. Voilà, c'est celle-là, la première. Ouais. It's very, very.
Safe sex is most important. It has a timer and everything. I can only begin to imagine the names that people would have in here. I am that good. Very nice.
No, no, it's a conclusion for Anne.
Yeah, my conclusion is don't use weird names when you do these apps. No, but really nice points. So, yeah, the uses of the prevention on mobile health are going way further than boundaries that TV had before. So that, let's explore them like this. That's it.